Okay, I admit it. I love Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding, affectionately known as Bob and Ray. And though we have now lost both of these incredibly talented, creative, and funny men, their many recordings from the WHDH years, the Mutual Network, and NBC New York City years have left us with a lot of wonderful memories by way of transcriptions. On this track, you will hear two skits and an old Lifebuoy soap commercial between the two skits. The first skit is entitled The Interview with Mr. I Know Where They Are, and the second skit is a do-it-yourselfer with his cactus dehumidifier. What can I say? It's Bob and Ray on Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program, and thank you for listening.
And right now, we have another interesting session with Mr. Ralph Flinger, the man who's better known as Mr. I Know Where They Are. Ralph has made a lifetime career of keeping track of thousands of former celebrities who are no longer in the public limelight. And I'm sure it's a rewarding experience for you to hear from these old-timers all around the world, Ralph.
Yes, it certainly is, Ray. I received a postcard just this morning from Torchy Yachov, once known as the wild Bulgarian of six-day bike racing. Torchy wrote he's living with his daughter and son-in-law now over in Paterson, New Jersey, and he grows a lot of hollyhocks.
Well, that's a warm and touching bit of news, Ralph. But now we have a lot of mail from our listeners that's piled up here since your last visit. Most everyone wants to know about their favorite old-time celebrities who have vanished from the spotlight.
Well, I'll be glad to supply any information I have about them, Ray, if I possibly can.
Now, do you need a handkerchief or anything?
No, I don't.
All right. Here's a very interesting letter from a lady in Maine. She says that her grandfather took her to aerial stunt shows many years ago, and she remembers seeing a young daredevil named Warner Bromley, who flew a Zeppelin upside down. She wonders if you know where he is now.
Oh, yes, of course. Warner Bromley performed at air shows all over the country during the early 30s, and he even achieved international prominence when he tried to fly a Zeppelin upside down through the framework of the Eiffel Tower.
Well, he certainly sounds like a colorful figure. What's he doing at the present time?
Warner Bromley is still close to the type of work he always loved. He inflates weather balloons for the government now. He lives alone with his two Cocker Spaniels in a trailer park near Oklahoma City.
Well, that's good to hear. Now we have another letter from, it's from a gentleman in North Carolina. He's wondering whatever became of a former Major League Baseball player named Backwoods Grinnell.
Do you remember him? He brings back
just
memories.
Just vaguely the name.
Backwoods Grinnell earned his nickname on opening day of the 1934 season when he hit a home run and ran around the bases backwards. No one ever knew for sure whether he just got confused or did it on purpose to win a bet from a teammate.
I see. Well,
either way, the commissioner ruled that he'd made a travesty of baseball and fined him $100,000, which was a good deal of money in those days.
Certainly was. But what became of Grinnell?
Well, of course, he dropped out of baseball right away rather than pay the fine. And he recently earned his 40-year service pin from a company in Ohio that makes steel wire for paper clips.
Uh-huh.
Seems quite happy in that career. I hear he's just been promoted to chief custodian of the night shift.
Well, it's nice to know that some of these former celebrities have prospered in other occupations in later life. Now, Ralph, we have time for just about one more letter addressed to Mr. I Know Where They Are. It's from a lady in Montana, and she wants to know whatever happened to Lola Dressendorfer, the young heiress who mysteriously vanished around the time of World War II.
Actually, it was right after the war, in 1946, that Lola disappeared. She was in her early 20s then, and of course, it was assumed she'd been kidnapped from the Dressendorfer estate in Connecticut. But no ransom note was ever received. The police never found a trace of the woman.
Oh, that's tragic, Ralph. Of course, it means that no one knows what became of Lola Dressendorfer.
No, it just means the police never found a trace of her, Ray. I happened to run across Lola several years ago, but I was getting some information together on Doodles Rushkin, another young heiress, that same period. Doodles told me that I might find Lola Dressendorfer working as a manicurist right here in New York. And sure enough, she was.
Well, then a disappearance almost 30 years ago must have been voluntary.
Yes, it was. Lola wanted to marry the captain of a ferry boat somewhere out in the Midwest, but her wealthy parents disapproved. She just decided to vanish.
Well, that's an amazing story.
Yes, it is. Unfortunately, her fiancé, the ferryboat captain, couldn't find her either. That's why she had to go to work as a manicurist. But she seems reconciled to her life the way it is now.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. And I want to thank you, Ralph Flinger, Mr. I Know Where They Are, for helping our listeners locate some of their favorite celebrities of yesteryear.
It's my pleasure, Ray. Goodbye to you and all of your radio friends.
always makes me think of a wedding. I wonder if I'll ever walk down the aisle to that tune.
Perhaps if you'll pay attention to a sound that goes like this.
That's like the Lifebuoy foghorn. You're trying to tell me that I...
Yes, everyone needs Lifebuoy in their daily bath. It stops BO.
In warmer weather especially, be sure to use Lifebuoy regularly. Lifebuoy gives you double protection because Lifebuoy affords first all-over head-to-toe and second lasting protection. That's double protection against the possibility of offending. Make sure you're extra clean, Lifebuoy clean, by using that rich, purifying lather in your bath every day.
Say, I'm heading for a Lifebuoy bath right now.
Singing in the bathtub, singing for joy, living the life of Lifebuoy. Can't help singing, cause I know the life I really stop.
Be popular, use Lifebuoy.
All right, well, now it's time to pick up more valuable tips for you home handymen as we pay another of our regular visits to the basement workshop of Fred Falvey, the do-it-yourselfer. Fred, I see you've really beautified the workshop with all those potted cactus plants. Those are new since our last visit, aren't they?
Yes, they are, Ray, but those plants aren't primarily for decoration.
Oh.
You know, a cactus pulls moisture out of the air, so I bought these and transplanted them into pots with the aid of a few simple tools. Now they're keeping the basement dry for a good deal less money than a dehumidifier would cost.
Hey, that's quite an idea, Fred. Mm. I'm sure our beloved friends of the radio audience will want to dig up some cactus plants for that purpose the next time they're vacationing out west.
Yeah, it's always a good idea to have a few around the house when you live in the city. You can tap them for drinking water if your pipes have to be turned off for a long period. Cactus water doesn't taste very good, but it can keep you alive for several days after your neighbors have all died of thirst.
And you just cut a hole in the cactus to get the fluid out, is
that
it?
That's right. Number 5 paring knife is the best thing to use, but in a real emergency, almost any pointed shop tool will do.
So, there you have it, listeners. Just one more example of better living by doing it yourself. Fred, I'm sure our home handymen are all anxious, though, to hear about your newest project here in the basement workshop.
Right, and this week I have a fascinating new project started here in the basement workshop. It's this handsome thermometer that can be placed on the wall inside the home or nailed to a tree in the yard. Whichever you prefer.
Gee, it really is beautiful and useful, too. Would you explain to the handyman listening how you made it?
What I plan to do is explain how I made it for the benefit of the handyman listening in.
Good.
And it's really quite easy, too, with a few simple tools. The tube that holds the mercury is just an ordinary glass drinking straw. I sealed one end shut by heating the glass to the melting point with a standard acetylene torch.
Well, that seems fairly simple. But where'd you get the mercury to put inside?
Well, of course, you can always buy it in quantity on the New York Commodity Exchange. But you don't really need that much for one thermometer, so I got mine from condemned tuna fish.
Well, now, is that available on the New York Commodity Exchange, too?
I'm not sure about that, Ray, but the inexpensive source I found is a local fish cannery that had thousands of cases of tuna condemned because of excessive mercury.
Uh-huh.
And I merely squeezed each chunk of tuna here in this number 8 vise and then caught the drippings in a bucket.
And that's all pure mercury that drips into the bucket, is it?
No, it's mostly fish oil, just a little mercury mixed in. But, of course, the mercury is heavier than the oil,
sure.
So it sinks to the bottom after you've let the mixture sit for a few weeks. And then it's quite simple to get it out with an ordinary household ladle.
And then I suppose you just put the mercury in a glass tube with an eyedropper or something like that,
right? Standard number 6 eyedropper is the best thing to use for putting the mercury in the tube. And then you simply glue the tube to a nice piece of varnished lumber to complete your thermometer. Of course, you'll want to paint numbers down the side to indicate the various temperatures.
I see you have a number 64, excuse me, painted on the wood part. And is that you?
What?
Making that noise?
I wasn't aware of it, right?
It seemed like you were growling there. I see you have a number 64 painted on the wood part, and then a 72 above that, and then an 86. Yes, you are growling.
Am I?
Yeah, it's probably something you don't realize you do. 86 up near the top.
Yes, that's right. I just call the Weather Bureau occasionally to get the temperature, and then I paint in the figure they give me right at the point where the top of the mercury is. Of course, I'll have to wait until next winter to fill in the lower numbers near the bottom.
Well, it's going to be a real professional job when you're finished, Fred. And I'm sure it costs much less than you'd pay for a thermometer, say, in the store.
Oh, yes. I already had the glass straw and the lumber, so my only investment was for the $300 worth of condemned tuna fish. But I'll get most of that back as soon as I find a few of the neighbors who aren't afraid to eat it.
Well, that shouldn't be too difficult now that you've removed most of the poison by squeezing the fish in your vise. So, once again, fine listeners, we've witnessed a typical example of how to live better by doing it yourself, direct from the basement workshop of Fred Falvey, the do-it-yourselfer.
No, that'll be all. Just be sure to lock the door behind you on your way out. Good night.